It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hey, man. So we have bad reception in our location, so I guess we have to move. So if you give us five, 10 minutes.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK, WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. Of course, you know what to do. If you like what you see and what you hear, hit that subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at Spotify and Apple Podcasts, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Recent episodes on here have featured, Bruno Major. We had Janelle Monae stop by, Sam Kiska from Greta Van Fleet, Ian Hunter from Mata Hoople, Lucinda Williams, Nick Hexum from 311, Jeff Amends, and Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam. Those are just a few of the recent episodes that you can find on the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, and I can't believe I get to say this, Dogstar. This is the band made up of Keanu Reeves, Brett Domrose, and Robert Mailhouse. It's been 20 years since they sort of called it a day, even though they get back together and jam every now and then. But this is the official return of Dogstar. And they've got new music that we're going to be talking about. In fact, the very first single is called Everything Turns Around, which you can hear right now. So we're going to hear about that. We're going to hear about some more of the songs that they've been working on for an upcoming album. We'll discuss the journey to making new music, how their 90s songs feel very much like a different band to them, and that the artists of the 70s and 80s, such as Echo and the Bunnymen and Big Star, the way they find their influence into these tracks as well. Keanu is actually going to go on to mention how much he's been liking the band Always, as well as the importance of the Jesus and Mary Chain's Psycho Candy, while Brett and Robert recount on a recent Neil Young show they attended. And they all three talk about the time they met. They actually opened, Dogstar opened for David Bowie. We'll get that story as well. We also get to hear about their upcoming show at the Roxy and plans for the fall tour, which I think should eventually cover both coasts from the sound of it. All that and more. Let's get into it with a brand new single called Everything Turns Around. It's Kyle Meredith with Dogstar.
Hello. How's it going, Kyle?
Again, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Dogstar are back. It's been 20 years or in change since we've seen you guys. I think it's around 30 years since the band has started. So you know, Robert, you're one of the co-founders. Maybe we'll start with you. Why now? Why is this the time finally for the band to return? How did this happen?
You know, we've been kind of getting together throughout the years, you know, starting like in 2010 and 11. It's just sort of every once in a while getting together to play, but I think something happened really kind of after the pandemic. I think things sort of changed a bit for everyone, and we really wanted to make a record. And you know, Brett had moved to San Francisco, so when he came, we decided to come here to, you know, to sort of get together and maybe go through songs. It really focused us a lot because, you know, he stayed here at the house, and we just went downstairs. Actually, stayed here at the house, went downstairs, and it really gave us some focus and some introspection after that. And we just came up, you know, with we were just hungry to do something, maybe get a sound that we didn't quite capture, and we knew we had something else special in us. And so we gave it a shot, really not knowing anything. And we were sort of bundled up here and holed up here in Silver Lake, and it worked out really well. The songs just sort of came out of, I'm not sure where they came from, but it was sort of a magical kind of 2 weeks that we had together.
I mean, where do songs come from? We don't know where songs come from.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah.
I don't want to know.
It's like
when they show up.
Yeah, it's like making a bolognese. Like, you know, you have all the right ingredients, but sometimes it's like...
I love the bolognese that you all make. I mean, and I mean that too. You know, going back to, you know, some of the songs, and maybe I'll talk about some of the songs here in a minute, but even getting into the new one, because everything turns around. Like this, so this is the premiere. This is the return right here. Everything turns around. When you have this moment, and maybe I'm just playing off of the title for fun, but does any of the music, does this song get to speak for 20 years gone at all, Brett?
I think it does now that you brought that up. Yeah, I mean, I suppose so. It wasn't written with that in mind necessarily, but it does kind of, people keep mentioning that it makes them feel a certain way, like a new beginning. So I think we would like to apply that to us as well. Yeah, sure.
Well, and I was thinking of one of your songs from earlier last decade, Second Chance. And I thought, Oh, maybe wow. There's an indirect tie there. I wonder if that's, you know, even a thing.
Not consciously. It's not like a part two or anything. It's just no, I don't think so. But wow, that's a deep cut there you found.
and that's also the thing. It's like thinking about the world that you were all in when you left and where it is now. I mean, it's almost like I don't know. You know, sometimes it's just friends getting together, right? Sometimes friends getting together, and it's folks like me who make a bigger deal. But it's like, you know, even rock is almost back to the underground. You know, it doesn't feel the same. Now, Keanu, maybe you can speak to that. I mean, what is it to be in Dogstar 20 years later?
It's been fun. It's been really creative. And, you know, it's... For me, it's super special to be able to play music with these guys, and I think, yeah, I mean, that for me, that's part of, you know, as we kind of were playing over the years informally, it was cool just in the past, you know, few years to, like, I guess just, you know, we've all changed a lot, but there's a lot about us that's the same, but there's also a lot different, you know, and I think musically, and I can speak for myself, just, you know, more time with the instrument, and it's been, so it was just really cool just to see the kind of present, where are we now?
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Dogstar. Do you all take much time with the, I mean, I know it's probably so much concentration goes into the fun of new songs, but are you still trying the old songs out? I mean, how do they feel?
They feel a little foreign. I mean, I can't speak for the guys, but I guess I could in little ways because we're together playing them. And I think they feel like it's from a distant, they feel so distant. Some of them are really feel really good. And then it just almost feels like a different band in a way, which isn't necessarily a good or a bad thing. It's just, it's kind of not really who we are now.
In a way, I think it feels like...
It's like our taste buds change.
Like trying on old clothes that you used to love those old clothes, but there's a different time now that maybe you don't wear that style so much anymore. Maybe you don't feel as comfortable in those clothes. That's kind of what it feels like for me.
Yeah, it's like we're not wearing the ripped jean thing.
It's like you pull out an old pair of pants or sweater. Oh, I remember this. I remember that. Yeah, oh, and you don't really want to throw it away. Or give it away, but you don't really want to wear it today either.
It doesn't fit anymore.
Yeah, I like Honest Anyway. I love that song. And I don't know what it means for you. I know what it means for me. And I also know that's the thing, right? Because that's the separation. When you're talking about these old songs and the old clothes, there's how you feel about them. You wrote them. You know what they were about. You know who that person was, who you used to be. And for a lot of us fans, it's that that's what it makes us feel like we used to feel. Like, I think that's where a lot of the nostalgia comes from. And maybe that's the separation, right? It's like the looking at old yearbook photos for you. But, you know, when we hear it, and you have it, I'm sure, with your favorite bands, too. It's that whole, like, you want to get back to that feeling of how you felt when you first heard that song. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they're like markers in time when, you know, you listen to classic musicians and they put like a mark. Oh, that's the time, you know. Yeah, I had my first kiss, or that's the time I graduated, or that's the time, you know, they become markers. Yeah. I mean, I didn't think that we'd have markers, but that's very flattering. But I know what you mean by that. And I think some of the new material that, for me anyway, sometimes like it'll remind me of some of the older things. Like I'll hear a chord or a piece or a beat or a bass line. And it's sort of like we're still that band. It's just sort of we've refined it into a different tone in a way, you know. But yeah, I'm with you with that. I understand that.
It's interesting also, I went and saw Neil Young the other night. Actually, Rob went to the same show, and Neil Young is playing deep cuts that he's never played before, so he said in his interviews. And for me, to watch an artist just be 100% artist up there, it was okay to not hear the hits. It was okay to not hear the catalog songs, because I was watching him have so much fun and be in his moment that it translated over to me. So it was kind of cool. It was like being in a private living room session with him. And so I think that's kind of how I feel, and maybe how we feel about this batch of songs, is it's, we're so excited about, like Keanu said, how it represents us today, that we just can't, you know, we're enjoying playing these so much. And now we have like, I don't know, 50 or 100 songs to choose from. So it just comes down to what do we feel like doing on this at this point in time. And not to say we'll never play the old songs again, but for right now, we're just so excited about these that that's where we're at on this run.
And the new ones aren't necessarily like of the time, like today, like 2023, you know, they don't like, oh, we're doing, this is the new thing. They kind of, to me anyway, some of them, the tones, and maybe that's Dave Trumfio and all of us together, the producer, it sort of tips the hat. It reminds me of like certain parts of the 80s or certain parts of the late 70s, like some of the tones and some of
our influence.
Yeah, the sort of the sponge that sort of comes out, you know, ring out those things that are so dear to you. They really came out for me in this record, in the best possible way, you know, without like an imitation. They're still original, but there's some kind of like, I don't know, I just became a fan for the first time of the band that I'm in. Like, I feel happy to be here. Like, I'm like, I can't believe I love my band so much. And it's the first time I kind of felt that way, because I just like the songs, you know, that Brett and Keanu crafted so many great, you know, verses and choruses together. It's just, yeah, it's just, it's a different type of sound, but it does remind me of, you know, sometimes I'm taken over, there's a British influence and there's this and there's Americana, and it's just all, it goes all over the place, but yet it still feels cohesive in a way.
Well, I watched the Bottle Rock show on YouTube, and you get to the song, and I'm guessing on the song titles here, because they're, I don't know who they're labeled by on the internet, but Blonde. And somebody said it really feels like Echo and the Bunnymen. I was like, it does feel like Echo and the Bunnymen.
Wow. Interesting.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean there. That
I'll take that. That's a great band. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll play that game a little bit. Keanu, you all walk into a room together. Who are you putting on the stereo?
Who am I putting on the stereo? Let's see. I don't know. Friend of mine's band is cool. The Bobby Lees. Some Always, yeah.
Which is not the 80s influences that we're talking about, not that...
Oh, you want to go for the 80s influences? Oh, I'm sorry. 80s.
This is the idea of, like, what is the music that brings you all together?
Okay, well, wait, I'm going to call out...
You just quoted Killing Joke. You went, no, 80s.
Jesus and Mary Chain.
Ooh, here you go.
That album threw the top of my head off.
Just Like Honey.
Psycho Candy. Mm, oh my God.
That's a great record.
Or maybe we could play some Cure.
And I can hear those. And I can hear the stuff like, you know, there's even like Big Star in the 70s, I feel like I find in your all sound.
Yeah, there's a little Big Star tip of the hat in the ending piece.
Do you find that you're directing yourself towards writing about, I mean, this is the whole thing where you ask, like, is there a thematic thread that sort of runs through it? I think you'd posted something online about a song, Low. You took a picture of some lyrics and it was talking about like women's rights and stuff like that. And you know, yeah, you start to get curious, like, what does this album start to be about, if anything?
Unfortunately, that song, Low, didn't make the record, but it does live. So it'll probably pop up someday. There's not a conscious theme, although there is definitely a theme that we found after we finished it. We kind of sat back after a couple of weeks, and Keanu, I think, was the first to notice that there was a thread. But it's just that, you know, it's just the journey of life, of emotion, and you know, Keanu, you so eloquently put it. It's like a guy or a
person. Yeah, like this character. I mean, I feel like, I think, you know, your songwriting, you know, each song has its own individuality and its own story. Like, it kind of has a beginning, middle, and an end, or a context. And when I was looking at the lyrics, it was just, it felt like it was from this one point of view, but different versions of the same point of view, like a different, like how we all are, right? We, you know, it was one relationship like this, or this is one thing I look for, yearn for, this is another thing that happened to me. So it felt like it had a central character, but just different parts of that character in life, emotionally.
And there were songs that didn't make it that. I guess we were unconsciously shaping a narrative, because there were some songs that I had written that were kind of political, or, you know, there was a song I wrote that was the lyrics were about, you know, the Ukraine thing. And, you know, some of those just didn't make the record. And maybe that's an unconscious effort to keep it more intimate to us, maybe, or closer. I don't know. Just more fun. I don't know exactly what it was, but we kind of wanted a little more, what's the word, levity or lightness to fun. It keeps coming back to fun. So I guess we did kind of inadvertently craft a fun record. Even though there's some dark spots on it and some sad points on it, there's a lot of hope. So I think that's hopefully what people take away from it.
Allows for B-sides, which is something I dearly miss from bands.
Yeah.
You know, however those would exist nowadays, you know, digital A-side, B-side, I guess, you know, put out your 7-inch or whatever, but...
Well, they're bonus track now. I think that's what they call them, right?
Right. A deluxe edition. That's it. Yeah. You wait the 6 months and then you put out the deluxe edition. That's
right, yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Dogstar. And I'm also hearing about the live shows. I mean, obviously, we had, you know, the festival show that you guys did, but you're playing the Roxy, which,
yes.
Yeah, that's a hell of a place for a proper return right there. Did that happen for any specific reason? Did you all, was it like, where do we want to do this? Like, why the Roxy?
Oh. I think we wanted a classic venue, right? I mean, we were tossing around some classic LA venues, the ones that are left. And we were bouncing around like a Troubadour, or, you know, I think Viper Room was mentioned at one time, but it's a little on the small side. So I think it just came down to scheduling, really. We kind of gave management like a small selection of ones we'd love to do. And the booking people came back and said, well, here's the one you get. And we were like, that's great, Roxy. We weren't even really, it was kind of a short notice that we came up with this gig. So we're lucky we got any of them, you know, and the Roxy we played before, and it's just a hot, sweaty mess. I love it. It's like, when you get up on that stage, it's like, you're really at a rock show. You know, there's other clubs you play that are like nice and air conditioned, and you're like, I'm very comfortable, but the Roxy's like a real rock.
I have AC at the Roxy.
No, but I mean, on stage for me, I feel like I love that. I love that feeling of like, I'm working, you know, I'm like in it.
Yeah, it's a great stage.
Yeah, I don't mean that as like a slight to their air conditioning system. I mean that I rock, I sweat on that stage. I love it. You know,
I don't think that'll ever be a headline, but that should be a great headline that came out of this interview right there. Brett slams the Roxy.
That's a great venue, and the Rainbow's right next door, and there's so much history there.
The ground zero for rock.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, so many great shows we've seen there, Pixies. Oh, God, just endless, and had a lot of experience there. And it's just everybody that works there is great too. And it sounds great too. That's really important. It's just the sound system there is lovely. And yeah, Nick and everybody, they've always been kind.
And so that's the one show. You got the tour for the rest of the year. I mean, how much are you putting into this?
No, so we're looking to tour in August, do like 12 dates, 14 dates, and then we're hoping to maybe go back out on the road. Like, we're doing a kind of West Coast oriented tour in August, and then maybe doing something a little, you know, go East Coast, hopefully in December.
Well, I do hope you make it over here. I'm more on the, I'm in Louisville. You don't have to come to Louisville, but just somewhere in the East. But hell, I'll fly out. I don't care.
Yeah. We tend to go where we're invited. We just show up. If you just ask us, we'll show up.
Open arms, guys. It's hot and sweltering in Kentucky right now, and we could sure use some entertainment around here. So, but yeah, you know, it's great seeing you guys on tour. I was reading some of the tour stuff too, and like, you know, I'm sure, I know there's some of the bigger stories of David Bowie. My other wall that I do sometimes do, it's like flanked by Bowie pictures everywhere. So like, like if you've got a Bowie story, this is, I would definitely love to hear it.
Oh boy, do we.
Oh man.
Well, no, I mean, we opened for him a long time ago. He was really nice to us.
Just getting to meet him was like,
he was great.
A life altering moment. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll never forget the call. I was playing, playing ice hockey in Burbank, and I don't know, back then, you know, I checked it was a payphone, and I checked a message, and I heard someone say, "Hey, David Bowie wants to open up. You'd open up for something." Who's David Bowie? I was like, I know David Bowie. It was just this, and I thought it was a crank call. I hung up on the person that I was talking to. I thought they were just, and then turns they called back again. I was like, no, it's serious. I think he was on tour with Nine Inch Nails, and he wanted to have a fun local show at the Hollywood Palladium, and he wanted a local band.
It was on Halloween night.
It was on Halloween night.
In Hollywood, California.
Yeah. Right.
Get any weirder than that.
Remember that? Tiano had like an axe bass from Gene Simmons, and we put lights all over the drums, and David Bowie came out and watched our sound check, and that was kind of nerve-wracking. I was like, I think David Bowie's watching us over in the corners.
Yeah, he's on the side of the stage.
Just in White Duke, like, he's just so mellow. We're like, ah. He was just, like Brett said, he was a gentleman, and he's our hero. I mean, he's my hero.
Such a warmth, his energy. It's like, yeah. It was like a, you know, someone just putting a blanket around you when he approached. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Would love to have seen that, Bill. And I know those moments are special. You know, and Daniel Lanois, you know, getting his seal of approval and stuff like that. Like, those are cool moments.
Oh, yeah,
and
he was in the audience. I wasn't nervous at all.
He's my neighbor. A good guy, my neighbor.
That's what you want to hear right before you take the stage. Yeah. Daniel Lanois in the audience. Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks a lot. You just really ruined my confidence now.
I shouldn't have said anything. And he stayed for the whole show.
He stayed after.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Mind blowing when you meet people at that level.
He lives like 5 minutes from here. He's just a local. He's a, you know, he's a fixture here in Silver Lake. He's just a lovely guy. He has lovely house parties and plays, and he's a real artist there. Wow.
And when you think about like one of the architects of pop culture that has literally changed the world in some way, you know, that's the stuff that's crazy right there.
Him and Brian Eno together.
Yeah, right. Certainly, you know, again, love what you guys are doing. I'm so happy that you guys are back. The single Everything Turns Around. What a great return. I can't wait to hear more. I can't wait to see this on stage too. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a blast.
So kind of you. Thank you.
And my thanks to Keanu Reeves, Brett Domrose, Robert Melhouse, Dogstar are back. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. You do that, I'll give you 3 brand new interviews every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. And discover the new ones at iTunes, Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. And after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get classic tracks, you get the best of new music, we do music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. One of my recent shows featured the music of Funkadelic, Queen, Bob Dylan, Robert Plant, Big Country, The Waterboys, The Tragically Hip, R.E.M., Counting Crows, Matthew Sweet, Jonathan Richman, Chocolate Genius, 7 Mary 3, Beastie Boys,
SWV and interviews with Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age and Dave Davies of the Kinks. Again, that's just examples of what you can hear every weeknight at 6 p.m. at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also catch me on the social media spots. That's Threads, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all four of them. The address is all the same, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along, because that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
We will find you.
We will find you. Well, the beer.
We will find you.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.